Mark, we call on you to publicly repent.
The on-again, off-again relationship between Mark Driscoll and John Lindell over the fiasco at the James River Men's Conference is a lot to keep up with. First, the two men like each other, now they're talking, and then they get mad at each other, then they start passing notes back and forth to each other in class, now they're mad again with each other, and they're parting ways like Paul and Barnabas. I think it's important to talk about this now that the kind of initial shock of what took place is over with so that we can actually really talk about the James River Men's Conference and, more importantly, the art of disagreement. So I'm here to help to put all the pieces together, if I can, so hopefully that we can make some redemptive and deep thoughts about what took place today on Indie Thinker. Welcome to the show. My name is Reed Huberman. If you haven't subscribed before to the podcast, then please take a moment to do that right now. Make sure to leave a 5-star review. You can even like and share with others. And the reason I'd encourage you to do that is because each week on Indie Thinker, we try to bridge the gap between faith and reason in order to show that the two are not in conflict with each other. Largely, I believe that that conflict has been oversold by people who just have an axe to grind against Christianity, have a skepticism or something like that, that keeps them from clearly thinking about the ways in which Christianity has not only been beneficial to society and to individuals, but also to the pursuit of reason and discovery and advancement. I think the most robust and deep thinkers on the planet should be Christians, and when they are, the world is a better place. So that's what I try to achieve here on the show. Now, today I'm going to be talking about something that is kind of universal, specifically within the realm of the church, but also can help all of us as we deal with conflict and relationship issues in our life. So no matter where you come from, today I hope to achieve a little bit of independent thought. Now, if this show has been beneficial to you in helping you achieve independent thought, then I want to highly encourage you to do something, not only to subscribe, but also to subscribe to our newsletter. You can do that by going to the link on the screen right now or going to the description of this podcast. Once you're subscribed to our newsletter, you will be able to access all sorts of exclusives that we send out to our newsletter people only, but then also you'll see the trailer to our brand new film, Fatherless, which is a brand new documentary that we're currently in production on right now. But then also you'll find ways to help support that film and the great work that we do here at Indie Thinker. If you'd like to see a documentary produced on the subject of fatherlessness, if you've been benefited from the show, blessed in the past by what we do here, then I want to highly encourage you to take a moment to sign up for the newsletter and to consider supporting us with your gifts. Like driving by a gruesome car wreck, I totally understand the desire to look away from what took place at the James River Men's Conference between Mark Driscoll and John Lindell. However, I want to just turn your head slightly back to that scene for just a moment, one more time on the show today, so that we can be honest about what we see. I believe if we're willing to critique it and think about it from a logical perspective as much as possible, I think there's a lot to gain here. That's why I want to revisit it, especially given the fact that a lot of stuff has taken place that some of you may not even be aware of. Now, I understand already I'm going to get people who will come into my comments section who are probably non-Christians, and they'll say, see, this shows you how dumb all of you Christians are. And of course, that's ridiculous. But beyond that, I will also get some criticism from my own side from people who will say, this is nothing but gossip, and this is divisive, and we should handle these things, you know, within the context of our own local churches. Now, here's why I don't think that is true. I think, frankly, that the first kind of person I explained who is going to just look for ways to attack the church because their mommies weren't nice to them or something when they were young. I think those people might actually have a point when they say that you guys in the church, you're kind of cultic thinkers, because a earmark of cultic thinkers are people who will not self-analyze and self-critique. I believe that the people who should do that the most are fellow Christians, that we should be willing to talk about these things because we are not perfect, and certainly the institution of the church is not perfect, and we need to be willing to grow and figure out ways in which we are doing things that we could get better at, I guess. So I think it's absolutely right in line with independent thinking to actually take the time to think about these issues. Furthermore, I would say this, and I am loath to admit it, but the progressive Christian, who is not really a Christian at all, but really a person who worships a totally different God and a different religion, has a very small sliver, like 1% of a point, when they come along and they call the church toxic. If by that they mean that the church has habits that need to be corrected, well, I believe that that is 100% true. Now, the other 99% of what they're talking about is they think that any other kind of hierarchy, is oppressive and creates victims and should be destroyed, and that's why they want to destroy the church. That's nothing but neo-Marxist garbage. I was going to say a different word, but garbage. That's not true at all. But it is true that there are tendencies in the church that need to be critiqued, and unless we're willing to critique them, we can't make them better. So I think critique creates clarity on where we stand on the issues. If nothing else, on an individual basis, I think taking the time to think about these things will be individually helpful to you as you try to establish where you stand on the issues. I guess, in other words, all I'm saying is this, is independent thought takes place when you are willing to conduct thought experiments and think deeply about these things. And I just want to help in that process today. Now, in order to do that, let me first of all just take you through the timeline of events that took place with Mark Driscoll, John Lindell, and the James River Men's Conference, and perhaps one of the biggest stories going on in Christianity right now, at least evangelical Christianity right now. Let's jump into the past and go to a past James River Men's Conference so that we can kind of see the spirit of what takes place at this conference. Check it out. All right, so I think what I'm showing you on the screen right now kind of paints the picture for where I ultimately want to go throughout this whole conversation. So we see a hair metal band rocking out, and then underneath them comes a tank with a dude, denim cutoff shirt, shooting fake machine guns into the air and then driving over cars. All right, so that's what's been taking place at the James River Men's Conference. So all I wanted to say about this from my very first initial reaction is that this is cringe on top of cringe on top of cringe, folded on top of cringe, then sat on top of a dumpster, lit on fire with more cringe. I want to talk about this more in just a second when we look at the present conference that just took place. But this kind of entertainment doesn't really seem to be entertainment to me as much as it is an attempt to try to spark the interest of high school boys. Now, if that's what they're after, fine, but I didn't know this was a youth conference. I thought it was a men's conference. And at some point in time, we do have to grow up, guys. All I'm saying is that it's no longer the 80s. I can understand pining for the fjords, but let's get back to the present. And let's also realize that we're not the age that we were in the 80s, and it's time to grow up a little bit. I've talked about prolonged adolescence on the show. Boy, if this isn't an indication of exactly that kind of thing, I don't know what is. But as you can see in this next clip, that kind of immaturity has not gone away from the James River Men's Conference, but it's also taken kind of some weird shape in their most recent conference. And now, for those of you who are listening, I do want to explain this. Most of you are familiar at this point in time what took place, but you can see a young man take his shirt off, then dance on a pole. He's doing a strength act, so I want to be really clear about this. He is not doing a pole dancing routine. He is not stripping per se. He just took his shirt off. I think this is important. I'm not merely being semantic of splitting hairs, or if at least basic facts is splitting hairs, then fine, I'm splitting hairs. But these are just basic facts. The guy is not doing a pole dance for a bunch of men at a man's conference. He's doing a strength act and doing a sword swallowing routine. Now, I want to situate this correctly because, yes, this guy is a go-go dancer. Yes, he has a history of dancing maybe for men and for women in Las Vegas. But I don't believe this to be a quote-unquote like sensual dance. I just believe it to be totally 100% out of place. And that's what we see at the James River Men's Conference on a regular basis. More on this in a moment, but I just want to situate this correctly. I was accused of splitting hairs here and saying that this wasn't a striptease of sorts. And if I am splitting hairs here, I think it's an important hair to split. But besides, it's just basic fact giving, which I don't think is really splitting hairs. But I think it's important to situate this as the conference for James River has a consistent kind of track record of being cringe and being incredibly immature and being unwise at a time where we need men to really wake up and pay attention and not just be lulled to sleep by mindless and ridiculous ridiculous entertainment. This is the kind of thing that is taking place at this huge conference. And I think this is essentially what Mark is trying to call out in this next clip, where Mark is finally kicked off the stage because he's one of the guest speakers there. So he's going to come out and speak, but not for very long. Check it out.
We're going to talk about how to be an Elijah, yeah, and how to deal with Ahab and Jezebel. But let me do this. I've been up since 1 o'clock in the morning. The reason I'm hoarse is I have been praying for you, and my heart is very burdened for you. And I want to be very careful with this, and it's not what I want to say, but the Jezebel spirit has already been here. The Jezebel spirit opened our event. This is a rebuke and a correction of no one. This is an observation. Before the word of God was open, there was a platform. It was a high place. On it was a pole, an asherah. The same thing that's used in a strip club for women who have the Jezebel spirit to seduce men. In front of that was a man who ripped his shirt off like a woman does in front of a pole at a strip club. That man then ascended. See, our God is not arrogant. He doesn't ascend. Our God is humble. He descends. And then he swallowed a sword, and Jesus cried, okay, Pastor John, I'll receive that. Thank you.
All right, so first and foremost, I just want to say I totally agree with Mark's take on this to a degree. I think that this is out of place. It shouldn't be at this men's conference. And there's a bit, it's so out of place as to be a little bit odd, to the point where I think, like, my discernment meter is going way off the chart here, where I think that there's more to this than what we can really tell. However, I don't think it's right to equate that pole to an Asherah pole. The Asherah pole in the Bible was used for pagan sacrifice and for pagan worship of pagan gods. I'm not totally sure that that's what's really taking place here at this men's conference. And I will say that I think Mark should have taken the time to speak directly to the pastor before taking stage. Now, if I'm to give Mark the kind of charity that I would want somebody to give me, I would say Mark had a relationship with this dude, so he thought that he could freely address this thing without fear of offending this guy because they have such a good relationship with each other. But apparently that's not true, because Mark is kicked off the stage, and then immediately after that, John Lindell is going to take the stage and he's going to say this.
If Mark wanted to say that, he should have said it to me first. He did. Matthew 18. If your brother offends you, go to him privately. I talked to Mark for a half hour. There was not one word of that. He's out of line. If he wanted to say it, he could say it to me. You may not agree with me. You may not agree with him. But we are brothers in Christ, and there's a right way to handle this.
All right, so there it is, folks. As far as I can tell, a guy misusing and abusing scripture to be somewhat manipulative, it seems. Now, the only reason I am suggesting that is that Matthew 18 has to do with people who are having personal disagreements with each other. Mark's disagreement has to do with the fact that he saw something that he felt needs to be addressed in a public forum, because he saw that thing in a public forum. Now, I think common decency and character would suggest that Mark should have dealt with this with John. There's a bunch of different ways that this could have worked out differently than the way it did if Mark had taken the time to actually be considerate here. Now, he didn't, and things happened as they did. However, I just don't think Matthew 18 applies here. But we're going to find that the oddly manipulative kind of statements about what took place at this conference didn't stop with a misuse of Matthew 18, but also went one step further when now both of these men come back out onto the stage to address what took place so that they could in some way, I guess, publicly display what Matthew 18 is supposed to look like. Check it out.
You want to know what John the Baptist was like? Mark's a prophetic voice to our generation.
Nothing about what was said changes that. And I, Mark and I talked. We went outside where we could be alone and we could talk. And we reaffirmed our friendship. And Mark, I want you to know, you're a gift to the kingdom. You're a gift to James River. You've been a gift to Debbie and I. You've helped us in things. You've been kind to my family and to my sons. And I love you. And I told Mark, listen, he says, I'll do whatever you want. I said, well, if you're willing, and we can come in and talk, and we'll let him talk to you in a moment. If you're willing, I want you to speak again. I want to find out about Elijah. Yeah.
Here's the thing, you have to be careful that you do not criticize people who have the anointing of God on their life. Better to say nothing. Because what happens is, once you begin to criticize somebody who has the anointing on them, you're in the flesh. And once you're in the flesh, then you're moving toward unbelief. And once you move toward unbelief, then you live a barren life spiritually.
I mean, like all of this is just so weird. How does this guy go from saying, hey, we just want to kind of patch things up, to you can never criticize a man of God ever? See, this is one of the reasons I wanted to do this video, is because I think that is something that's been taking place for far too long in the minds of Christians, to the point where we've kind of swallowed that pill. And we just take our medicine now, instead of thinking, you know, we actually probably should be willing to criticize. We probably should be willing to take notice of things. We probably should be willing to rebuke. And the more we do it, the better off we can be. Now, it has to be done with a spirit of wisdom. And we lack that so much, probably because we've been going to men's conferences for years with monster trucks and boxing matches, rather than deep, deep, powerful, life-changing teaching of the Word and bringing people to encounter with Christ, rather than just mindless entertainment. More on that in a moment. But forgive me if I think that this is totally unbiblical and a manipulative tactic in order to try to excuse his behavior. You can't criticize me or you'll be an unfruitful Christian or something. It's ridiculous. Now, at least at this stage in the game, everybody thought Mark and John, they patched things up, said, hey, we're sorry on stage, we love you as a brother, we love you. And they're gonna go their separate ways and we're gonna forget that this ever happened. Except for the fact that Mark, immediately after he left the conference, started promoting his book that he wrote last year, which is about the Jezebel spirit. Now, if you'll remember from the clip I showed earlier, that's what he accused of being at the men's conference. And so now he comes on the aftermath of this and starts promoting his book, which led people to speculate online that Mark Driscoll is now using this as an opportunity to grandstand, and this was a planned publicity attempt. Now, the reason most people thought that is, in the past, Mark Driscoll has been caught staging a publicity attempt to sell one of his books. And this happened at the Strange Fire Conference, where he insists that some security guards confiscate his books. And they're like, no, we don't want him, man. We're just going to put him in your car. And he's like, no, take him. You should take him. And then almost insist that they take him. And they say, okay, we'll take him, which they immediately just grab him and throw him in the garbage. But then it gives Mark the opportunity to put online that his books were confiscated at the Strange Fire Conference, which they technically weren't. So all that to say this, that this kind of stirred up the ire of many people online who already don't like Mark Driscoll, simply because this seemed to be reminiscent of things in the past. And the only thing I would say here is that a little bit of wisdom would suggest that there is such a thing as social currency. Mark has spent up a lot of his social currency in the past and was quickly regaining it because he is such a strong leader and such a strong man in the pulpit, and we need more of those guys. But a lot of people had a lot of speculation as to whether or not this is truly a sincere attempt on Mark's behalf to push his book, oddly, after this conference, and whether or not what he did on that stage was well-intended either. We'll talk about that more in a moment, but maybe one last thing to kind of show you about this whole ordeal, because now, in the aftermath of these guys kissing and making up, John Lindell will go back to his church, take the stage, and then spend about 40 minutes of a sermon talking about Mark Driscoll. So here's just some excerpts of that.
In the presence of God, and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead. And in view of his appearing and his kingdom, Mark, we call on you to publicly repent. We are calling you to publicly repent for refusing to stop the spread of lies regarding Alex Magala, a Christian brother.
Now, before we get to the rest of this, I want to show you that Alex, the guy who did the sword swallowing routine on the poll, he spoke out and absolutely contradicted everything that John Lindell said in terms of how long he's been a Christian, whether or not he's a brother, and whether or not he truly knows what it means to be a Christian. So here's what Alex had to say about that.
So first of all, I have no kids. I have a family. I have no kids yet. So that's number one. And secondly, some sources say that I was saved by God around 10 years ago, which is not correct, because I'm an Orthodox Christian, and I'm sorry if I'm wrong in terminology. I just English is my third language, so I'm trying, but just bear with me. So Orthodox Christian means that I get through the ceremony of becoming a Christian as a baby.
So I can paraphrase this very briefly for once. Not a Christian. So John will continue to go on and then talk about Mark Driscoll and all of the ways that he should repent and the ways that you also should repent. So check it out.
Mark, we are calling you to publicly repent for sowing disunity in the body of Christ. Mark, we are calling you to publicly repent for covertly trying to divide brothers and making false and slanderous accusations against Brandon Lindell. Mark, we are calling you to publicly repent for trying to create division in the Lindell family, all the while saying you love us. Mark, we are calling you to publicly repent for trying to destroy James River Church through attacking its leadership.
All right, so there you have it. That's the story as it sits right now. And now I want to just say, as a healthy thinker, as a Christian who wants to thoughtfully deal with these things, there's some things you can do and maybe you shouldn't do. The first one is this, is you can probably presume some things based upon probability, but I would be careful about assuming things. Specifically, I would not assume that you understand the motive of Mark or even John. I think that that is an act that ultimately will leave us with conclusions based upon our personal preferences rather than fact patterns based upon what we see. So with that being said, I think we should need to push away from all of that as much as possible and then just say the one thing that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, regardless of Mark's intentions and even regardless of John's. What we see at the James River Men's Conference is part of the problem. Mindless entertainment that constantly blares in the face of men annoyingly and draws their attention away from the battle that they really need to be fighting and numbs them to what's really happening in the world. That kind of entertainment is all around us, and the last place in the world we need it is in the church. Neil Postman talks about this in his book, Entertaining Ourselves to Death. And in it, he talks about whether we're experiencing 1984 or Brave New World. And he sides with Brave New World simply because he believes that men's desire for distraction is infinite and that we will gladly give away our rights for a little bit of pleasure if we can. This goes back to a saying that I've heard in the past, that you can do a lot with bayonets, but you can't make people sit on them. The idea there is this, is that you can force people to do what you want, like in 1984. You can create a totalitarian state and you can make people suffer if they don't do what you want. But that is short-lived because people will eventually rebel against that. But people can be numbed to the reality of their rights being taken away and even willingly give them away if you will just simply offer them pleasure. See, I think that that is what is more happening at this James River Men's Conference than maybe we are willing to acknowledge, or at least John Lindell is willing to acknowledge. I think we have a couple of battlefronts that we should be paying attention to way more than monster trucks and boxing matches, second-rate acts that we can get better in the world than we can inside the church. See, we need to be focusing on providing authoritative teaching and giving people encounters with Jesus, and that should take the front stage. And we should be so committed to that stuff that we don't let anything take its place. Nothing should overshadow that. And trust me, If the church was providing that, the church would not be in decline right now as it is in the West and especially in America, and people would flock to that stadium. They wouldn't come because there's pyrotechnics and monster trucks purely, but they would come because something is drawing them that's supernatural. See, they can get all of this stuff in the world and they can get better versions of it. But what they can't get is what the church can provide. That's why more and more people are leaving the church, simply because the church isn't sticking to what they can truly give people. That's different in this hour. And as gender clinics continue to pump out boys that no longer have their testicles, as abortion clinics continue to emasculate men and kill their babies and kill fellow men, as our world continues to push DEI down the throat of college students and bring us back to kind of like 1950s pre-civil rights era racism, as we see drag queen story hour and so much more taking place in our city streets, I can't help but wonder, where are the churches that are sounding the alarm and calling us to the arena, that are really calling us to rise up and fight? I'm not saying that there aren't moments that are probably inspirational at this conference, but color me a little bit skeptical. When you see this kind of mindless entertainment and worse versions of it than the world can provide taking place in these men's conferences, I can't help but believe all of the good that probably happens at the Men's Rivers Conference, the James Men's River Conference, is drowned out by all of the mediocrity and the superficiality. And what we need to do is gather together as men once more and stand for the things that really matter. When I say fight, I don't obviously mean physical, but I mean standing up for ideas that truly matter, standing up for the truth of God's word. If we don't do that, then we might have found that we have entertained ourselves to death and entertained ourselves into imbecility. And those kind of men will never be the kind of men that the scripture talks about. All right, that's all the time we have for today. If this was helpful to you, I'd love to hear from you down below. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. But most importantly, go with God.